Our text this morning will just be the first half of verse 5, but I'd like to begin reading from verse 1, summarizing what has just been illustrated with Hebrews 11. Well, let's back up to Hebrews 10. The end of Hebrews 10 and verse 36, the author says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And the question is then, how do we persevere? And the answer is by faith. My righteous one will live by faith. And then he encourages the Hebrew Christians, verse 39 of chapter 10, we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And then the question is, you know, well, what does faith look like? And so he gives us this long chapter, Hebrews 11, with one illustration after another of people who heard the word of God, believed that word, and then put it into practice. They lived out the wisdom that God had given to them. And then, in case you missed the point, he adds chapter 12. The whole point is you need to persevere, you need to endure, you need patience in the Christian life. And so Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Let's pray. The Father, again, we pause to ask for your grace, that you would send your Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation. We ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would truly know your will, that we would be filled with the mind of Christ, that we would be enabled to see with the eyes of our heart that truth that you have for us, and that we would be able to hear you speak to us today, right where we are in life. And so bless this reading and our study now of your word. As we unfold this word, we pray that you would grant us light and faith. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The problems and challenges that we encounter in life will be aggravated when we forget to view all of life through the lens of God's Word. That's the sermon. In case you fall asleep, it's in your bulletin. In case my voice gives out, in case you fall asleep, both of them happen. It's in your bulletin. That's the sermon. Now we'll just take that apart and look at it in a variety of ways. But this is the message of Hebrews 12, verse 5, just the first part. The problems and challenges that you and I encounter in life will be aggravated when we forget to view all of life through the lens of God's Word. God's Word, the Bible. The words that God Himself spoke in Hebrew and in Greek and gave to men to write down. The same words that are preserved for us today, fortunately, translated into a language that we can easily understand. The lens of God's Word, like putting on glasses and seeing things in a certain way. The lens of God's Word, that is the truth of God's Word, the perspective, the point of view that God Himself has about reality, about you and me and the world that we live in. What God Himself thinks and says about what works and what doesn't work, about good and evil, right and wrong, joy and pain, life and death. The lens of God's Word, our seeing all of life as God sees it. And we all face problems and challenges in life. You don't have to be a Christian to have problems. Marriage problems, financial problems, health problems. But as Christians, you and I have a unique set of problems. Challenges that the world knows nothing about. We're called to live for Christ. We are called to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. We are called to fight the good fight, to run the race with endurance, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And we deeply feel the pain of running. We grow weary and we lose heart. There's the temptation to not resist, but to give in. There's the temptation to not struggle, but to give up and to go back to a life that is so much easier. To give up our Christian profession. But God provides just what we need so that we can run in order to win. And we just need to remember what that is that God provides for us and to use it. The problems and challenges that you and I encounter in life will be aggravated when we forget to view all of life through the lens of God's Word. Verse 5. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? First thing that we see in this verse is that the Bible is God's word of encouragement. Encouragement. It's a word that has a rather broad meaning in the New Testament. And it's only used three times in the book of Hebrews. The word can mean to comfort or to console or to inspire confidence. And it's used that way back in chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews 6:17 says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, that is God's promise and God's oath, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged, to be consoled, comforted, to be inspired with confidence. The word can also mean and be translated by the word exhortation. Some of your translations may have exhortation there. It's found in chapter 13, verse 22. And the author says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation. I think every English translation that I looked at uses exhortation in this passage. For in fact, I have written to you quite briefly, and you're thinking, 13 chapters, that's brief. Exhortation. Translators choose this English word at the end of the book of Hebrews because it fits the context of Hebrews. Hebrews has been a pretty rough book. The author has really been speaking some strong language and has been urging us, pushing us along, that we would be diligent, that we would run the race with perseverance. Here in chapter 12 and verse 5, I think both of these ideas are being brought together. The idea of consoling and comforting and inspiring with confidence, and also the exhortation and being brought together, encouragement. Sometimes we need God to come alongside and to help us, to console us. Sometimes we need God to get behind us and push us, to exhort us, to move us along. Sometimes we need to be led and shown the way. And God does all of this in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, we read it earlier. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. I like how J.B. Phillips paraphrases this verse. He talks about the Bible being useful for teaching the faith and correcting error and for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. That's what God does with his word. This encouragement comes to us in the form of words. It's a message. The Bible is written instruction. It's designed to guide us in life. Words put down on paper to direct our thinking and behavior. Our Westminster Shorter Catechism begins this way, talking about the purpose of life. What is the chief end of man? And you say, man's chief end is? And then you're thinking, well, what instruction? You know, what have I got to guide me? What instruction is there? What rule has God given so that we may know how to do this? And you say, the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, the only rule to direct us, how we may glorify and enjoy Him, to direct us, to guide us. That's what we have instructions on how to live this kind of life. And then you're thinking, well, what do I really need to know about life? What's the bottom line message of the Bible? What is it that God is trying to get across in the Bible? What do the Scriptures principally teach? And you say, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. As Christians, we live by faith. We need to know what to believe. And as men and women of faith, we need to know how to live. We need to know our duty, our responsibility. And then this encouragement is a word that comes from God. It's not just advice, pious advice that somebody has come up with that they have found to be helpful. It is a message that comes from God. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? And then the author opens his Bible to the book of Hebrews and says, it says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. He's quoting from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. He clearly believes that God himself is speaking in the book of Proverbs, and he's speaking as our Father, and he's speaking to us here and now today. God speaks. God is speaking. The book begins that way. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Chapter 3, verse 7, when he gets ready to quote from the Old Testament, he says, "So as the Holy Spirit says," and then quotes a psalm that's written by David, Psalm 95. You know, as God the Holy Spirit says, and then he quotes Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is alive. It is active. It's not a dead word. It's not just something that somebody wrote about God. The Word of God is living. It is alive. It is active. God is speaking to us today through His Word. So here in chapter 12, he quotes Proverbs. Why Proverbs? Well, that's where the verse is that he wants to, you know, he wants to quote. So. But what better book than Proverbs? Proverbs contain short, pregnant statements about God's wisdom for daily life. They're easily understood. They're easily remembered. They're easily applied to the problems and circumstances of life. For the most part, the author is through talking about theology. He's done that chapters 1 through 10. Here's the theology, the superiority of Jesus Christ. And we're to grasp Christ and follow him in faith. And so he illustrates that in chapter 11. Now with chapter 12, in case you missed it, here's all the practical stuff, the implications of the superiority of Christ. Here's how you live by faith. Here's how you run the race with endurance. And so he's talking about the practical aspect of the Christian life. And so he chooses the book of Proverbs. Look at just the first chapter in Proverbs, just to get a flavor of what that book is going to be about and how fitting it is for him now to reflect on Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Where can we get this wisdom? Where can we get this kind of instruction that we need? Well, we've read it already in our service, Proverbs chapter 2. You know, verse 1, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." You know, it's God's word. And then verse 3, "Indeed, if you call out for insight, if you cry aloud for understanding," prayer, Bible open, reading God's wisdom. But just reading it isn't going to give you that wisdom. You have to pray that God would teach you. And then the result, verse 9, "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path." The problems and challenges that we encounter in life will be aggravated when we forget this word of wisdom, when we forget to view all of life through the lens of God's word. The next thing that we see in verse 5, Hebrews 12, is that the Bible is God's word of encouragement addressed to you as sons. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses a son? This is to you today. Romans 15, verse 4, "Everything written in the past," book of Proverbs, "everything written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement that Scripture gives, we might have hope. This is not just for people in the Old Testament that are reading Proverbs, and this isn't just for people in the New Testament, the Hebrew Christians that are reading this letter for the first time. It's for us today. It's God's word of encouragement to you. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? Don't read your Bibles as though it's a book of general statements of truth and facts, like you would read a math book or a science book. I've never heard a child look at an algebra book and then close it and look up into the heavens and say, "This is just what I needed today." You know, this is speaking to me. Now, there may be a math major here or something. You know, most kids, though, they don't just think, you know, this is for me. This is what I needed today. Don't read the Bible as though it's just a book of general facts and information. Read it as God's word to you. Don't read your Bible as a book about the person that's sitting next to you or the person that's sitting over there. This is a word that is addressed to you. It's about your life, your problems, and the challenges that you face. And then read it as written to you as sons. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." For those of you who are in Christ, do not read your Bible as a book of demands that is just being thrown at you. Don't read it like you might read a legal contract or a lease agreement, you know, 20, 30 pages. They're trying to trick me somewhere in here, trying to catch me in some sly way. Don't read your Bible as somebody who's angry and is just trying to make life miserable for you and is trying to keep you from having some kind of fun. If you're in Christ, you don't read the Bible like that. You read it as a message, a word that comes from your Father in heaven who dearly loves you. Martin Luther, as he's explaining the preface to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," he says, "O God, you encourage us to believe that you are truly our Father and we are your children. Help us to pray to you with complete confidence, just as children speak to their loving Heavenly Father." Heidelberg Catechism treats it in the same way about those the preface to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." The Heidelberg Catechism says, "Christ wants to kindle in us the childlike awe and trust that God through Christ has become our Father." The problems and challenges that you and I face in life will be aggravated when we forget that God is our loving Heavenly Father and he speaks to each one of us out of his heart of love for us. And then finally, and this is the main point of verse 5. The Bible is God's word of encouragement that sadly is too often forgotten altogether. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? Have you completely forgotten? We forget our Bibles. Now, he's not talking about you forgot to bring your Bible to church this morning. He's not talking about you forgot where you put it at home, and so you know, around Saturday or Sunday morning, you're thinking, "Where did I put that last Sunday?" He's not talking about that you forgot something that you worked so hard to memorize, or you forgot where that verse is in the Bible. What he's saying is you have forgotten to view all of life through the lens of God's Word. You may know the Bible, you may know where your Bible is, but what you've forgotten to do is take that Word and apply it to this situation. You have forgotten to look at this problem, this situation, this circumstance in your life through the lens of God's Word. The Hebrew Christians had forgotten. This is why they were growing weary and losing heart and wanting to quit and drop out. They were puzzled about why is life so hard? Bad things are happening to them. Bad people are giving them a hard time. Life was painful. It wasn't pleasant. Why is life so rough for me right now? If Jesus Christ is so great, if he's such a wonderful Savior, why am I having such a bad day? You know, why isn't he helping me with my problems? So those are the questions that were going through their minds. And in the weeks to come, God willing, we'll go back and we'll answer some of those as we look at Hebrews 12. But for today, just get this one principle in mind. The problems and challenges that we encounter in life will be aggravated when we forget to view all of life through the lens of God's Word. 19th century Scottish pastor John Brown, in his commentary on Hebrews, put it this way: the true way of being preserved from going wrong is to look at everything in the light of Scripture. You know, it's not just coming to church with your Bible and thinking, well, is what Pastor Donovan saying in Sunday school really true? Let me look in my Bible and see. You know, or this sermon, Pastor Olson, you know, let me look in my Bible and see if that's really true. It's not just about church, religion, what goes on in church. It's viewing all of life, everything that happens. That's where we tend to forget. I mean, we're thinking Bible when we come to church, but when we're out there working, when we're interacting with our neighbors, that's when we forget, oh, I'm supposed to be looking at everything through the truth of Scripture. Good and evil, right and wrong, joy and pain, life and death, health, finances, marriage, relationships, whether you show up on time for work or not. Whether you complain about how you feel or how the weather is, who you'll vote for in November, what you post on Facebook, how you interact with your gay neighbor, how you view abortion. Our desperate need is to be in this habit of viewing all of life through the lens of Scripture. Looking at life as God looks at it. Seeing things as God sees them and as they really are. Now, how can we do that? You could bring your Bible to church. That's not the most helpful thing. Some of you, I know, are better listeners. I mean, it's good to bring your Bible. I'm not telling you to leave it home, but some of you are better at listening. It's distracting for you to try to figure out where is Proverbs, where is 2 Timothy, and then what translation is he going to read out of this morning. It's better for you just to focus and listen, hear God's Word, and deal with God as he speaks to you without trying to fool with your Bible. I think a little bit more important is remembering where your Bible is when you take it home, so that it doesn't get lost and you're thinking around Thursday, Friday, wonder where that is. Leave it out in a prominent place. Have a daily plan, a plan of taking time daily to read a portion and pray over it. Proverbs 2, crying out for understanding. Memorize. Even if you don't get it word perfect, memorize a portion, a verse a week, just as you're reading, just so that you have the general truth in your mind as you're going through life. This verse, you know, have I forgotten this word of encouragement where God is addressing me as a father addresses his son? Just to have that simple concept in your mind and begin to turn it over and over in your mind. Some people find it helpful to use the bulletin. Don't leave your bulletin here. Take it with you. Keep it in your Bible. Make your Bible easier to find in the house. This big piece of paper sticking out of it. Take that on Monday and just reread what we have read on Sunday. You know, begin with the call to worship where we read just, you know, a couple of verses out of Colossians and read that Monday morning. And then pray, God, would you help me to realize the truth that is here? You know, for those that want to do something extra, you could get out the Trinity hymnal and actually go through hymn 220 and pray those words. But what did we read this morning? Proverbs 2. Maybe in the morning, just read through Proverbs 2. When it gets evening time, read 2 Timothy 3. On Tuesday, do the same thing. I mean, read the same thing again. Wednesday, read the same thing again. I mean, that's how you read sacred texts. You read it so that you don't just say, well, I read that, I'm going to go on to something else, or I read that and I know what's there. You read it over and over so that the message, the word, the concept, that whole world view is seeping into your mind and heart. You read it over and over. Find what works for you, but find it and make it work. I want to close just with this quote from John Murray. From his collected writings, it was a little article on the study of the Bible. I thought it put very well the need for giving ourselves daily to the Word of God. John Murray was a 20th century Scottish theologian, taught at Westminster Seminary. Murray says, life is very complex, and we are constantly beset with baffling questions. New situations daily confront us. If the situations are not entirely new, old situations take on new color and new settings. We need to know anew what is the right thing to think and what is the right thing to do. If we are to meet these situations, we must be armed with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we must be equipped with such knowledge of the Word that we shall derive from it the needed direction and strength. We must betake ourselves anew, day by day, with humble and submissive minds to the law and to the testimony. So that our minds are illumined, replenished, refreshed, renewed, and reinvigorated by the pure light that shines in the pages of God's inerrant word. And I would add to that, and then develop the habit of in every situation, of every problem, every challenge that you face, to ask the question, what does God have to say about this? What does the Bible have to say about this? What does God really think about this topic? My neighbors say this. Donald Trump says this. Lester Holt says this. My religion professor says this. My boyfriend says this. My heart says this. But the question that we need to ask is, what does the Bible say? What is God saying about this? I mean, that's the only word that you can truly trust, that this is accurate, this is a worldview, this is a viewpoint, a perspective that comes from reality itself. It's not a make-believe world. What does God say? The problems and challenges that we encounter in life will be aggravated when we forget to view all of life through the lens of God's Word. Remember God's Word of encouragement. Let's pray. Father, I think that most of us have to say that we know this. This is nothing new. It's nothing that we haven't heard this before. We can't complain that this is something that we've never thought about. It's something we don't do. And not doing it cuts us off from your grace. Your word is a means of grace. It's a channel through which you communicate to us by faith and through the Holy Spirit that very life of Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, that Word that is now embodied in these scriptures, the Word Jesus Himself that we encounter on the pages of our Bibles. Help us, Father, not to try to live from one Sunday to another on whatever word we heard, but help us, as Professor Murray speaks, taking ourselves anew day by day to the law and to the testimony, and in that way receive the wisdom and the strength and the life that we need from Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.